Good evening. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I am reporter Emily Kwong, and we just wrapped up a conversation with John Stein and Shirley Robards about Proposition 1. That has to do with reinstating the senior sales tax exemption and the pros and cons of that over the rebate program that the Sitka Assembly put in its place. Sounds like that you at home, pardon me, could listen to hear one of the callers who called in, and I could not, but we have fixed that issue, so I should be able to hear individuals now. And we're gonna now turn to Proposition 2. That was also put on the ballot through a citizen-led petition sponsored by Stan Filler and Pete Menendez. If passed, Sitka would be exempt from a statewide smoking ban that takes effect October 1st, and smoking would be allowed to continue in four establishments: the Pioneer Bar, the Moose Lodge, American Legion Post 13, and Ernie's Old Time Saloon. And we have on the phone some folks from the state to answer some technical questions. Emily Neenan, the Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society Action Network, is with me. Emily, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Great. And then Joe Darnell, the Chief Investigator for the state's tobacco program. Joe, are you here?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
Thank you both so much for calling in. It's a little unorthodox to have state guests on our local radio, but I think it's really important because the statute that we're discussing applies not only to Sitka, but to all of Alaska. So this is Statute 1835-300. It regulates smoking in certain places. And can you tell me a little bit about, just first right off the bat, this law goes into effect October 1st. It bans smoking in restaurants, bars, and other public places. But it includes language that allows communities to ask their citizens if they want to opt out. Sitka is the only community in the state to put an opt-out provision before voters. But our elections are October 2nd. So what would happen on October 1st when the statewide smoking ban is in effect, but Sickens have not yet voted on what would happen on the ground here? And either of you can answer this question.
You want me to take that one, Emily?
Sure.
Go for it.
Go ahead, Joe Darnell.
Okay. The 1st of October, the statewide law goes into effect, so which is next Monday, a week from today. Sitka will be required to comply with the state law like every other community within the state. They should be putting up the signs they're supposed to have and taking ashtrays away. In saying that, I also want to add that the first offense on this, or the first complaint coming in on this, the establishments will receive education stuff about the law coming in. So, but as of the 1st of October, they will be required to comply with the law.
Great. Okay. And Emily Neenan, a question for you. How did SB 63, so that's the law that put this statute into effect and was signed by the governor this year, how did it come to include an opt-out provision that Sitka is taking advantage of?
Great. Thank you, Emily. Just to clarify first, I just want to give a little background on the state law that
Sure.
is on the books now.
Sure.
This has been a long time coming. Bethel was the first community in the state to pass a local smoke-free law way back in 1998. So over the last 20 years, communities across the state have been incrementally moving in this direction. Also over that time, we've learned so much more about the dangers of secondhand smoke, and the public opinion has really changed in recognizing that everyone has the right to breathe smoke-free air. So 5 years ago, there was legislation introduced, and over the last 5 years, that has been working through the process of the state legislature in Juneau. It just passed this year with wide support, both parties, both houses, both the House and the Senate. In the very last committee, the House Rules Committee, which normally doesn't even meet, there was a provision put in by the Rules Committee chair that would allow a local community to say, this law that protects everybody else doesn't have to apply to my town. So that's what Sitkins are going to be voting on next week, is whether or not Sitka will get the same protections as everyone else. Now, it is confusing the way the ballot measure is, because it's sort of a double negative. So basically, the no vote means no smoking, basically, indoor workplaces. We're just talking about inside establishments. So if you vote no, it means no smoking inside workplaces.
Yeah, and that's true of Prop 1 as well. We're in double negative land on the ballot, but it's effectively changing legislation that would just automatically or is automatically going into place. That is true. And I think that one question I have for you both is, you know, this law requires persons in charge of a place covered by this law. They have certain legal obligations. What are those law obligations, and what can smokers come to expect when it comes to their rights in places that now have this law? Which either of you could answer that question.
This is Emily. I'll jump in, and then Joe can follow up, since he's the super technical person is in terms of dealing with compliance from the state side. What happens immediately is what Joe said. Businesses put up signs, which are downloadable from the state website, or they can request them from the state, and take the ashtrays away, and then simply ask folks to take it outside. It's as simple as that, just taking it outside. What we found across the state, this has been true outside as well, outside Alaska, is these laws are largely self-enforcing because people get used to them very quickly and simply step outside to smoke.
Mm-hmm. And who would impose any fine that were a person to violate that law? How would that work?
The first thing I'll say is that it takes a while to get to a fine because the laws really are there's a very high compliance rate. We found people, like I said, get used to it very quickly. The process goes through some education. What we found in other communities in the state is generally there's some miscommunication or lack of understanding, education needing to be done, clarifications. Once those are done, then Joe can speak to the next steps down the line.
Sure. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, initial education's done. If a complaint comes in after that initial education comes in, then the business is contacted again, explain more thoroughly what the laws and what the requirement is. If another complaint comes in, that's when we'll actually make contact. It will be someone from the state, or it could be someone from your local police department there making contact for us. And the statute was written that smoking doesn't have to happen in front of us for us to cite for it. So We can follow up after the fact, and if we determine that the complaints and the information we had that came in are factual, we can go ahead and write a citation. But any commissioned law enforcement officer can write a citation on this, and then for the statewide one, our office is overseeing and writing citations on it from there.
Got it. Few other technical questions, and then we'll go to our local guests. But there are some exemptions in that, correct me if I'm wrong, limousines and taxi cabs are exempt only when the driver and passengers voluntarily consent for smoking, and also that performers on stage as part of a theatrical production are exempted from this law. Is that true?
Emily, that's not true, actually.
Oh, okay.
Taxis and limousines are covered all the time. The only exemption in a vehicle is if you had the situation of, like, a long-haul trucker, say, that is the only operator of that vehicle, so they're not sharing it with somebody else, then that would be up to the owner of the vehicle to decide. But if you're... definitely, if you got other people around, you need to be smoke-free. And the theatrical performances that hasn't been seen in these laws for many, many years. It's not used anywhere in the more recent laws in the state.
Okay, this is why I'm glad I have you guys to keep me accurate. Two more questions. What impact does this have on local marijuana laws and smoking?
Great question.
If SICA were to pass,
Yeah. No matter what happens with the ballot measure in Sitka, it really will have no practical effect in Sitka for what happens with where you can or cannot smoke or use it in a e-cigarette, aerosolizing it, vaping it. The Marijuana Control Board is setting the regulations for where marijuana can be smoked and whether it can be used in marijuana retail shops. But they have adopted the same language that's in the state law. So there's no situation where Sitka is going to get anything, any different treatment than the rest of the state when it comes to marijuana.
Joe Darnell and Emily Neenan both work for the state. Emily is the Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society Action Network, and Joe is the Chief Investigator for the state's tobacco program. I thank you both so much for coming on to answer some of these questions.
Our pleasure.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We are going to bring on some guests to talk a little bit about their feelings on Proposition 2. That would be Margaret Carlson and Doug Osborne. We'll be back in just a moment with them. And thank you so much for listening to Raven Radio, KCW Sitka. I want you to get in on this conversation about smoking. Call 747-5877 right now, and we'll answer the phone, and you can get in on it right off the bat. So just call us right now, 747-5877. Good evening. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm reporter Emily Kwong, and joining me is Margaret Carlson. Margaret, can you just introduce yourself, say who you are in Sitka, and why you are encouraging Sitkans to vote yes on Proposition 2?
Hi, my name is Margaret Carlson. I am the American Legion Club Manager. It is a smoking club. I've been working there for 8 years now. I was born and raised in Sitka. I am here on part of this, wanting everybody and encouraging them to vote yes on the smoking. I have been non-smoking for 17 years now, and I work in a smoking establishment, and that's my choice, and I do it because, like I said, it is my choice and stuff, but, I really believe that in this smoking town and stuff that nobody is going to be able to change people that are already doing this and stuff, and that it's three places in this town that we can get the smokers off the street. Now, we've already gone through this before.
That being the Pioneer Bar, American Legion, and Ernie's, because
yes.
The Moose, I heard, recently eliminated smoking indoors. Go on. Yeah.
Yes. We went, you know, we do this, we leave our club smoking and stuff because it's the members' choice. You know, if the members decided to go non-smoking, we would put it up for a vote between them, and it would be their choice to do it and stuff. Right now, they choose not to. They choose to keep it a smoking place. We would rather keep it that way, and we would rather keep the P-Bar and the Ernie's. We've tried to go non-smoking before when this first came out, And there was a lot of people from the bars that were standing on the streets, smoking cigarettes, teenage kids walking by, asking for cigarettes. And, hey, you got a couple drinks in you already? Sure, hand them out. You don't care. You know, so kids were getting them and stuff. Now, getting them off the street would alleviate that. You know, they had an article in there saying they went and picked up a certain amount of cigarette butts in one day. Well, imagine how many you're going to go pick up if you have people out on the streets that don't care about the streets and stuff and have to go out and smoke and are mad that they have to, and they're going to throw their cigarette butts all over. Then what is this town going to look like? You know, we had businesses that couldn't keep their doors open during the daytime to get fresh air because the people had to smoke outside and the cigarette smoke was going in their establishments and stuff. Where are they going to smoke in Sitka? Mm. The street is small. The town is small. Yeah, go out the back door. The back doors are small, too. There's not many places and stuff. You know, if we could go make this whole town non-smoking completely and everybody quit smoking, fine. But that ain't going to happen. That ain't a reality and stuff. So work with what we have to and stuff. Get these people. What about 4th of July? That's a week celebration. What about Alaska Day? That's another week celebration of all these people out there drinking and smoking. You want them on the streets? I don't. I know that my choice is to work in a smoking establishment. That's my choice. But when I'm on my day off and I want to go downtown to go shopping, I don't want to walk past that person smoking a cigarette on that street and smelling their cigarettes and stuff, because they have to come out of that bar to smoke that cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to be able to walk down our street and be able to breathe that fresh air, knowing that these people that aren't going to quit smoking are in those bars out of the way. Mm. I want to know that these children that are walking in the streets, the teenagers, can walk down there and not get a cigarette from that drunk person standing out there. You know, this is one of the reasons. I know cigarettes is bad for you. I know it's bad for your health. A lot of people do, too. So let's get these people out of there. Keep them in the P-Bar. Keep them in Ernie's. Keep them in the Legion. If you don't want to go in there, don't go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, you know. Workplaces, they talk about workplaces. There's 8 other bars in this town that they can go work at if they don't want to work in a smoking place. This is 3 places.
Margaret Carlson manages the American Legion Hall. And just to back up what you're saying with some information, the smokers under this state law would have to take it outside. And right now, our clean air laws in Sitka, passed in 2005, say you have to go a reasonable distance away. But this law is pretty specific. It says an individual may not smoke outdoors within 10 feet of an entrance to a bar or restaurant that serves alcoholic beverages. That's pretty...
So let's be real here.
Mm-hmm.
10 feet outside of the Legion, where does that put you? Right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 feet outside the back door of the Legion puts you on somebody else's property.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, the Elks, you know, they have their smoking outside, but, you know, you walk down the sidewalk past there and stuff, you can still smell that cigarette smoke and stuff like that. So, you know, putting a place outside and everything doesn't alleviate it.
Yeah.
It just spreads it around.
We have some callers on line 1 and 2. Amanda, you're on line. Oh, this might be Sherry on line 1. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, good evening, Emily.
Good evening. We're talking about Prop 2. How are you planning on voting and why?
I put a letter to the editor in the paper today, and I'm definitely voting no because I feel everybody, including Margaret, deserves to be in a smoke-free workplace. The health issues are well documented, and I understand and I hear her point about taking it out in the streets, but we know that by implementing these laws that we can anticipate that people who do smoke will cut down. We also know that people who smoke, when we put in these kinds of ordinances and legislation, that we see increased quit rates. And there's nothing that makes music to my ears is to hear anybody who is even contemplating a quit effort. So I'm just encouraging everybody to vote no on this proposition, because what's good for the community, it's good for children, it's good for everyone. Thank you, and have a great night.
Thank you, Sherry. We also have Amanda on line two. Amanda, are you there? Hey, Amanda.
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi.
So what do you think? How will you be voting on October 2nd?
I just want to piggyback off of Sherry, I guess, and, you know, thank Margaret for her time and for her thoughts and viewpoints. I do feel like everybody's feelings and opinions that they share is important. But I will definitely be voting no on Prop 2. I feel in my heart of hearts that every employer has a responsibility to protect their employees, no matter where it is, no matter what type of work it is. If you know that there is an action going on in the environment where you're employing people that is potentially harmful to others, I feel like it's up to the employer to protect their employees. And secondhand smoke is a well-known harm. It's a carcinogen. The toxins in tobacco smoke cause cancer. They cause other physical and biological ailments, diseases. And it's just, it's a huge risk to put people at. And for these clubs, part of my concern is that there are non-smoking members that want to be members too. And I feel like non-smoking members are just as important as smoking members. And they want to be able to go in there in that environment, and they don't have a choice. If they're going to be a part of that lodge or membership for whatever particular club it is, they want to be able to have the equal opportunity to access and be involved in events and things going on in that place. And they have to subject themselves to the smoke, whether they like it or not. And I don't feel like that's fair.
Hmm.
I do feel like everybody matters. I do agree that smokers, you know, they choose to smoke. That's their choice. But when it comes to harming other people, I feel like that freedom of choice should end. And they should take that in a place outside where it's not in an enclosed space, where people are not breathing it in clouds, where it's sitting in the air and cigarette after cigarette in a small, tiny space. And people breathing that over several hours is just toxic. Mm. It's harmful. And it just is time to take it outside. It's time. It's happening across the country. It's just the health conscientious right thing to do.
Thank you, Amanda. And Margaret, I see you nodding your head. And would you like to respond to the callers who just called in? For instance, just to play devil's advocate, I mean, is it a possibility that the ban would improve business at the American Legion Hall by maybe allowing those who are non-smoking to feel like they can come?
You know, I've been thinking about this, and I've gone over it, and I've gone over it, and it's not something that I haven't, you know, debated on or, you know, talked about and stuff, but I leave it up to my members and stuff, and there are people that come in and ask about the place and stuff. Don't ask whether it's a smoking or a non-smoking place or anything like that. They ask about the membership and how it is and stuff. I very rarely have anybody that comes in that sits there and complains about the smoking or it being a smoking place and saying that they're not going to come back because of it and stuff, so... also, along with, you know, them talking about smoking and stuff and a certain amount of space or, you know, distance you have to go, it's fine and dandy if you're talking about, you know, the cities and stuff like that and the places that have the space and stuff and everything, but that's not practical here. You can see the small towns and stuff, so.
I'd like to bring in another voice, which is Doug Osborne. You are, well, the phones are ringing off the hook. this is really, SICK is the only community in the state to consider an opt-out. And I just want to take a moment to, I think that it means that SICKens aren't afraid to exercise their rights to vote in all kinds of ways. And the debate is very alive here, and SICKens are very aware of the law and how it would change the community. But Doug, you know, you're the chair of the Health and Human Services Commission. And what do you have to say that maybe hasn't been said? I have a specific question about the difference between smoking in the streets and smoking indoors. You know, what Margaret's saying is the smoke would be in the streets, and do we really want that as a community? Because these private clubs provide a place for people to smoke indoors. What do you have to say to that point?
Well, thank you for having me. And I think, first of all, the thing I want to start by saying is that breathing is a right. Where you smoke is a choice. Breathing is a right. And it's something that everybody needs. Everybody needs to breathe. And the thought that any worker in Sitka would have breathing secondhand smoke, which is known to cause cancer and cause asthma attacks and cause emphysema and cause all these problems, the fact that any worker in Sitka in 2018 would have to breathe secondhand smoke as part of their job is the reason why this bipartisan group took years to pass this bill. It was SB 63, and it was signed by the governor this summer, and all over Alaska, people are going to step out back. Now, you mentioned in the streets, and I've heard that, and I think about when the Elks went smoke-free, there was a provision that said, if you want to have people under 18, you have to be smoke-free. Mm-hmm. And so their members decided, well, we're going to go smoke-free. I've never once seen them out front. They go to the side, they go to the back. So at Ernie's, as an example, the law says that you have to be at least 5 feet from a back entrance, so they would be on the back porch. The reason why tobacco industry hates this is that, as Sherry mentioned, people smoke a little bit less and it encourages quit attempts. So the main impact that smoke-free laws have, and we know this because 27 states have passed it, almost 1,000 cities, we know exactly what happens, and they know exactly what happens, which is why they fight them tooth and nail. So what we know happens is you have fewer heart attacks and you have lower rates of smoking. So if you're going to look at something like cigarette litter, and it's true that cigarette litter is the number one cause of litter. There's more cigarette butts than any other kind of litter. That goes down, smoking goes down, heart attacks goes down. This has a very, very clear, powerful public health benefit, which is why the American Cancer, American Heart, all of these big national groups who study this say, yes, this is the way to go. You're going to have a huge health benefit if you do this. So I guess the thing that hasn't been said is don't knock it till you try it. We have not tried a smoke-free like this. Don't knock it till you try it. It may be as simple as going out back and the people working these places live longer. The thing about smoking indoors is if you smoke a cigarette, there's a little filter on the end, right? The smoke that comes out of the end, there's no filter. It's absolutely deadly. It's the third leading preventable cause of death. 53,000 Americans every year die. And a lot of them are non-smokers. They're just exposed to it. So if it's as simple as just sometimes walking 10 steps and then light up outside, the chances of somebody getting a heart attack, a stroke, getting hurt goes way down. Hmm. That's why everybody's doing it. And that's why I think Sitka should too.
That's Doug Osborne. We have several people on the phone. Julene, are you still here?
I sure am.
Hi. So Prop 2, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll definitely be voting no. Yes.
You'll be voting yes.
Okay.
Yes. Which would exempt Sitka from the smoking ban. Why are you going to be voting yes, Julene?
I am a smoker. I bartended in the Moose. I chose the Moose. They were smokers in there. There are like 5 non-smokers that I can come up with on the top of my head. Non-smoking bars, we could go up to the pub. Everybody knows that in Sitka. Like Margaret said, and thank you, Margaret, we'd have to go outside. Kids will be there. Can you imagine the amount of drunks going outside 10 feet across the street and cigarettes going everywhere? I can't, and they won't be providing a smoking pit, warmth, shelter. We go to town to relax, have a drink. You get a drink, you light up a cigarette, start conversations. The Moose went non-smoking, and we have already lit up in there. We didn't do it on purpose, but it's taking our rights away.
Yeah. Thank you, Julene. We have Jean on line one. Jean, how will you be voting?
I will be voting no on Proposition 2. I believe that's the only wise vote. All Sitka's workers and citizens deserve to be protected from the substantiated harmful effects of secondhand smoke. It is not kind, reasonable, nor wise to exempt anyone in Sitka from protection of smoking's harmful effects. So I will be voting no.
Jean and Julene, thank you both so much for being so just articulate. And Doug, I have a question for you, which is that a lot of what seems to be underscoring the discussion here is whose rights are most right. Is it the right of a person to breathe clean air, or is it the right of a person to smoke in a place that's they're legally, as of now, allowed to smoke in? And is there any part of you that worries that this is taking the rights of a person away in a kind of fundamental sense? And I know that the state law has ruled that the right to breathe clean air is the more important right. But what do you think about the rights? I sense there's a bigger discussion happening here. So go ahead.
Yeah, Dan. I'm a former tobacco user myself, and tobacco starts as a choice and it becomes an addiction. But it's not a right like breathing. I think every worker has a right to a few basics. You should have a right to a good work environment that's not going to hurt you or kill you. And some people have to make that choice between a paycheck and their health. I was thinking of one person who was here and said, on a good night, you make hundreds of dollars in tips. And she said she knew it was bad. It was hurting her. But sick is an expensive place. And sometimes if you need a job, you need a job. And this was a good job and liked it and like being in service and doing this and had to make that choice between her health and her job. And I think the solution is so simple. Just go out back. Just go out back and try that. That's what we're doing all over the country. Give that a shot, because you can't hold your breath for 8 hours. Can you walk outside and light up out there? Yeah. That to me seems a more reasonable thing to ask somebody to do is, could you walk outside? If it was a super considerate smoker anyways, that's what they would do naturally. You wouldn't smoke if you knew all of the harms and all of the facts about secondhand smoke. You wouldn't do that to somebody else, because if you're 8 hours in a shift like that, your chance of all sorts of health issues just go through the roof. Mm. So it's just simply taking out back. So I think breathing is something fundamental. It's fundamental health. Everybody has a right to clean air. Everybody.
Margaret, you run the American Legion Hall. How do your employees feel about this conversation happening in the community?
That's what I was going to get at next, is that my employees choose to smoke their cigarettes, and that's why they choose to work in that area of employment and stuff. So they don't have a problem with it. And they know that, you know, in the bars, a lot of people in their drinking, the minute they get that beer in front of them or that drink in front of them, a cigarette is lit up. It goes with alcohol and stuff. So, you know, they may go and drink that one night and smoke all night long with that alcohol and then not touch another cigarette till they go out to the bars in another 2 weeks down the road and stuff like that. A lot of people go to these bars so they can drink and smoke cigarettes with their drinking and stuff. And these three places here and stuff accommodate these people in this town that choose to go and do this and stuff and everything. And my employees chose to come to here to the American Legion and work here, knowing that it's a smoking place and they smoke on their own too and stuff. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. all by choice and stuff. And yes, you can breathe clean air and free air. But how free is that air when you got somebody standing outside of a bar blowing the smoke down the road and stuff and everything? How fresh is that air when you have to breathe it from somebody a block down the road when you're walking down the street because they have to stand outside and stuff and everything? Yes, cigarettes is bad for you. Yes, it's everybody knows that. But people choose to do this, and you ain't going to make these people quit smoking, and you ain't going to make these people quit smoking with their alcohol and stuff. So accommodate them like you accommodate everybody else in this town. It's just another group of people that want to have their freedom, that want to have their choice, want to have their voice, and want to do what they want to do. Hmm. They go to work, they work hard, they pay the city bills mm-hmm. that are ridiculous. So why can't they go and take 10 minutes, have a beer and have a cigarette, sit down and relax? Yeah.
What about workers, though, who want to work at American Legion Hall but don't want to smoke?
I haven't had any come in. If they come in and they ask me and stuff, then you know what? I bring it to the guys and stuff, and I let them know and everything. I haven't had that mm-hmm. and stuff. So.
Okay, thank you. We have Rachel online, too. Rachel, hi.
Yeah, hi.
How are you voting on Proposition 2?
I will be voting yes, absolutely, on Proposition 2. Why is, I feel like the present laws that Sitka has regarding clean air and smoking, they work. They've been on the books for a good long while. In the 20 years that I've been in Sitka, twice voters have rejected 100% clean air workplace clean air policies.
Mm-hmm.
Twice, time and time again, the voters of Sitka have voted down policies that would have eliminated smoking from all bars and restaurants and workplaces. And I feel like, the laws we have now, they work just fine. And honestly, I feel like it was a little bit offensive that the Assembly didn't immediately opt Sitka out of the of Governor Walker's new law to bring us into compliance come October 2nd.
Hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that, Rachel. And we have Jesse on line one as well. Jesse, how will you be voting on Proposition 2 in Sitka, the opt-out?
Hi, I'll be voting yes. I'm just curious, people come up from down south and want to run for this and that and run our state, make us go by their rules, make up these rules for us to live by, and then they move back south. And we have to live by this rule. Why? Because they don't smoke. I don't think Alaska should quit smoking. That's not right. And if there's an establishment where they want to go work at and it's smoking and they don't like to smoke, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't walk up to someone that smokes because you don't smoke and go, oh, you shouldn't be smoking. That stinks. That's not right.
So it sounds like
some people, it's not right.
Jesse, you'll be voting.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think we should.
Yes. Okay.
Who came up and wants to make Alaska smoke free?
Right. Okay.
Is that person from down south?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to come up here and make us live by this rule that they make and then go back south? That's not right.
Thank you. Yeah, Jesse, that is a good question. How did Alaska get to this place, Doug? This paradox? Because I should say, there's smoke-free workplace laws in Petersburg, in Juneau, in mm-hmm. Haines, in Bethel, in Anchorage. There are many communities in the state that prior to this law mm-hmm. took these measures.
Right.
So Sitka is kind of in a different place than other places, just as a way of putting it. But how did Alaska get here as far as you've seen?
Well, in the 60s, I think there was no rule. It was smoke them where you got them. Smoke anywhere, smoke in school, smoke on airplanes, smoke anywhere. And as we realized how dangerous it was and how dangerous secondhand smoke was, the shift started to be about, what about breathers' rights? What about people's right to breathe clean air when they go into a public place, when they go to work? And so that's a trend that's been 40, 50 years in the making. And so the more evidence and the more information there is about secondhand smoke and cigarettes, the more we know it's deadly, and that these protections have been proven to work. And so somebody's mentioning how it worked and how it was working well. And I just wanted to challenge that. It's not working for everybody. I mentioned this bartender. I watched a story today of somebody named Ellie. She worked as a bartender, never smoked, got asthma. And she described her first asthma attack as just terrifying. I mean, I think everybody's had that experience where you get the wind knocked out of you and you just will do anything for that breath of air. And she went to her doctor and her doctor said, it's because of the secondhand smoke. And she's like, I've never smoked. Secondhand smoke is that deadly. And so she had to choose between her job and her health. And so she finally had to go. And she liked serving. She liked what she was doing. But she had to choose her health. And she had to go work somewhere else. And that was a story I was telling you about. Somebody who is in this town, who works, who's really hoping that there's a no vote so that she can go to work and be able to go home that night without hacking up brown things. It is absolutely deadly. And to be smoking inside in an enclosed area like that is going to, at some point, it's going to take a toll.
Thank you. That's Doug Osborne, who plans to vote no on Proposition 2, and he's been joined by Margaret Carlson, who plans to vote yes on Proposition 2. And I want to thank you both for coming on to talk about this. As you could tell from the flood of calls, you open the door for individuals to voice their views, and that's all we can hope for in our town. So I really thank you for coming on the program very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Emily.
Yeah. It's been quickly coming to an end, this ballot forum. Thank you so much for participating. Elections are Tuesday, October 2nd, and early and absentee voting is available now. I want to thank, in addition to Margaret and Doug, Shirley Robards and John Stein. Coming up next is Mississippi Delta Lines, and I am Emily Kwong, Raven Radio reporter. Thank you so much for joining us.